Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, hour number two, Teak and Tierney coming from the Teak and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Home is much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Don't worry, Lions fans. We know you're slobbering at the mouth trying to get into the deep end of the NFL pool. We'll take care of you later on. We'll get to that. That's a fun game tonight. The Packers and the Lions.
Should be a great one.
And a meaningful one.
I know, because I mean, they're both right pretty there, decent. Mm-hmm. We want to knock the Lions, but you can't right now the way they've been playing.
Nope. Stop knocking them a couple of weeks back. It was easy to knock them after week one when they collapsed against the Cards and moved to the tie there.
But just think if they hadn't.
But I know. So we'll obviously do that. We'll really expand on the Browns dilemma. They are just out of their role. We have a lot to say about them. We'll squeeze in some baseball as well. All right, so I love watching the 49ers. I got to tell you. You know, aside from watching my doppelganger lose his mind every week on the sidelines, it looks like an old school WWE wrestler. Who is that? I mean, I know who he is, but that guy's the best.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He looks like me. Oh, he's got a better tan. He's more jacked, and he's, I don't know, he probably wins more than I do, too. Because right now they don't lose much.
And he's a good caller of defenses is what it comes down
very
to.
Good.
Because this let's back up and talk about it. 5-0. Yeah, I know.
But is this the first game you could really say, all right, I don't mean for us, because we've been riding the Niners train for a couple of weeks now. The average fan that didn't really know too much about their defense, like, I think yesterday opened some eyes, is what I'm saying, perceptually.
What opened eyes because of the defensive dominance that Robert Saleh and this team exercise against what was last year the number two offense in the National Football League, not just in yards, but in scoring. The Rams used to dominate. I mean, they put up points after point after point after point last year. And if it wasn't for the Chiefs, they would be the number one team. They took it all the way to the Super Bowl until they got shut down by the New England Patriots. Now, maybe, and we know the cliche, BT, defense always, you said it earlier, defense always catches up. Maybe the Patriots started to give a little bit of a formula on how to shut down the geniuses, and I'm talking about Sean McVay, who was the genius's offensive scheme. Now, a lot of this has to do with Todd Gurley not being available. There's a reason that they paid him the money that they paid him a couple of years ago, because Todd Gurley is the truth. He's awesome, and if he's healthy, they're a hard team to beat because he's so dynamic as a runner and out of the backfield, as a receiver, and he makes things so much easier for Jared Goff. Well, Saleh's defense held Jared Goff to 78 yards passing, which, I mean, that's a high school number. Mm-hmm. You don't hear that anywhere other than in high school. Like a quarterback.
Or West Point football when they want to run it.
Yes, exactly. Or exactly the triple option or whatever the heck it is we see in some of these, you know, college football programs. And so it's easy to look at this team and start talking about, well, Jimmy Garoppolo's there. And, yeah, look, Matt Breida, he's fast as hell, you know. And Tevin Coleman, who's a really good player when he was at Atlanta. Yeah, he's there, too. Yeah, they're all good.
Kittle,
who's one of the best tight ends in football, even though he's out on the West Coast, we forget about him a little bit here and there. But if I had an option between, you know, Travis Kelce and Kittle and whoever the
Ertz, maybe.
I mean, Kittle's closer to one than he is to three.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
They have Kyle Shanahan has a great offensive scheme, but the catalyst is this defense.
Mm-hmm.
They're not giving up any points, and they're aggressive, and they stop the run. They're in your face, you know, consistently. The number two defense in football right now, and you know, I mean, other than I'm trying to think of a name that you would know on the team other than Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
Most people and Richard Sherman.
Joe Staley as a offensive line.
No, I'm talking about deep. I'm talking about defensively.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's guys that we for a couple years we thought they were going to be a bust. DeForest Buckner, is he really that good? You know, Eric Armstead, the kid from Oregon, Thomas from Stanford. Right? Are these guys any good? Or what you're starting to see is the plan that John Lynch, who built this team on defense.
Yep.
Defense first. We're going to pay our QB. We got Jimmy. We paid him early because we knew the QB market was going to take off. Remember, he told us that. He's like, we knew the QB market was going to take off. That's why we were comfortable giving Jimmy Garoppolo $28 million, whatever it was, $30 million a year before he was even healthy.
Mm-hmm. Which was a great point, by the way.
Unbelievable point.
I mean, it's really, it's next level thinking.
Absolutely, because now they have him wrapped up while everybody else's QB is going to start making
30, 37, 38.
Unbelievable.
And provided he stops throwing some picks.
True.
I mean, he's still got
to
make sure.
But now they can afford to build on defense.
Uh-huh.
So they draft well, like with Nick Bosa. They bring in Quan Alexander, who they obviously know from Tampa. And this defense is dominant, man. It's awesome. So we want to talk about offense, but it's really this defense that's been the catalyst of this resurgence for the 49ers.
It's amazing because, you know, you close your eyes and you know, 100th season of football we celebrate, right? You close your eyes and you think about the most iconic teams in the history of the game.
Yeah.
And you have to think of Coach Walsh's 49ers.
That's right.
You don't think defense for the 49ers. But what's interesting is that their last two, and I'm going to put this current unit, I'm going to push this forward a little bit and say they are a very good team and this is not a mirage. Their last two very good teams been defense.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh, when he was there, it was about Justin Smith, cowboy up, you know, big, nasty defense, playing for the Bengals, fourth overall pick for Missouri. He went there, see his career. He's a star. Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman. It was defensively driven, and they protected the football with Alex Smith and eventually Kaepernick when they added a different dynamic in terms of athleticism. Hey, listen, I very rarely, because it's boring, and if you want it, it's there. Go find it on CBSSports.com, whatever. Tiki and I don't throw numbers at you, because if you want them, you'll go find them. But I want to throw a few at you, because it's the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
331 to 152 total yards. You talk about the rushing, the passing disparity.
Yep.
That's the whole big picture. 22 to 10 first downs, Niners. 39 to 21, Niners, time of possession. So I'm going to ask a question right now. I'm never going to ask again this year, are the Niners good? What I'm going to ask right now, am I prepared, and are you prepared, to make the NFC West a two-team race? And get rid of the Rams and push them aside and focus on Seattle and the Niners? Because I might be prepared to do that today.
Because
Gurley's not coming back as Todd Gurley.
He's not coming back as Todd Gurley. What's he got? It's not a knee right now. It's a quad.
He's not coming back healthy.
Which, I mean, those are sometimes nothing. Sometimes it's something big.
Well, it's something big when what right below it is something that's bothered you for a couple
exactly
of years
now. Because what happens is if it's a quad, I'm assuming it's a strain or thigh bruise, whatever it is, it bleeds. Health, you know, gravity pulls blood down and puts it on your knee, and his knee has already got issues and swollen. So, if I could co-sign that, if Todd Gurley is not healthy. Because without Todd Gurley, and I know they got other guys on that squad that they want to hand the ball off to.
Yeah, sounds good.
It's not Todd Gurley. Nope. It's not the difference maker that Todd Gurley was 2 years ago and even last year when they went to the Super Bowl, at least for the season of the Super Bowl, not in the postseason because he didn't touch the ball that much. I would co-sign that if Todd Gurley's not healthy. Because, I like Jared Goff. I think he's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like him.
He's not elite.
I like him.
He's not elite.
No. Nope.
And without a great game, he's not gonna do it for you.
Yeah.
Whereas I believe their defense, which once was dominant, has taken steps back. Even though Dare Donald finally had a couple tackles for loss and a sack. I know he had, but it's not nearly as dominant on the defensive side of the ball as they once were. Keep to leave. I mean, he's gotten old. I mean, he's missing tackles. He gets stiff-armed. He gets beat.
Yeah.
They're a different defensive team when they got older. Whereas the Chiefs or the Seahawks and the 49ers are young. Richard Sherman's the oldest person over there. He's 31.
And you know what? He's brought something that they needed.
No doubt.
A voice, yep. Confidence.
An attitude.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you didn't buy him against Tampa in week one, and you know, I'm not saying we really bought him then. I get that. You didn't buy him against Cincinnati in week two, although, if I'm right, that was in Cincy. That was a 3,000-mile trip. All right, you don't want to buy. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You believe the Steelers were diminished because of Bell and Big Ben's getting older and AB's gone. All right. You had to respect them after the national coming out party against the Browns when they just smashed them 31-3. And you have to really, I mean, the respect was earned, I think, by America that night. Now, what yesterday did was reassign, in my opinion, reassign the pecking order of power definitively. At least, you know, definitive as you could be
on the
at
road.
This juncture of the season.
On the road.
Which was basically a Niners home game.
Exactly.
Which is another problem.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good way to think about it. Look, Richard Sherman, who we were just talking about, he talked about this after the game. We love Richard. He maybe made something up with Baker Mayfield, but that notwithstanding, the dude is amazing, and he's great for this defense.
You don't worry about it. You want idiots to sound like idiots, but you want them to hold their position the whole year. Like, don't flip-flop with us. Like, if you said we weren't going to make it, you said we were some way early on, just stick with that position. Hold it. Don't try to give us credit now. Don't try to give us credit now. Just stick. If you had us ranked 25, keep us ranked 25. If you had us going home early, if you had us going 3-3 and whatever, have us going 3-and-whatever. You know what I mean? At least stick by your word, because I want you to sound like an idiot at the end.
Now, the only thing is you can't hold them to 3-13 when they're 5-0.
I mean, yeah.
Richard's got to adjust the math sequence there a little bit, but point taken.
I know, I get it.
You know, we liked him more than most. Yeah, I'm not saying he's talking about.
Then this wasn't after the game. This was before.
This was last week.
He's talking about like the preseason thoughts,
mm-hmm.
And I remember, just to be fair, my preseason thought on the 49ers was, I have no idea. Seriously, I mean, I know Jimmy Garoppolo is supposed to be a good quarterback. I know they brought in and paid some running backs on this squad. I know that Kittle is a good player. I don't know what to expect on the defensive side of the ball,
mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, people are honestly talking about these guys not making it, that they spent all this draft equity on over the last couple of years. Solomon Thomas. I mean, how many times have you heard him being a bust in DeForest Buckner?
Yeah, he was trending there for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Like over and over, you kept hearing this. So I had honestly no idea,
mm-hmm.
until they got a couple of games into this season. You mentioned the Bucs game. Obviously, the Browns game on the road was eye-opening and telling in a lot of different ways.
No, that was home.
No, you should. Yeah, it was home. It was home. And then this game, which was on the road against the Rams, but basically home, tells me a lot, right?
Because it does.
Teams that can win by shutting down a team. I have – listen to this, BT.
Okay. Tiki's notes here?
The Los Angeles Rams, seven plays to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
Seven plays, seven runs, touchdown, rushing touchdown.
Okay.
Here is the rest of the game for the Rams. Punt, turnover on downs, fumble, punt, turnover on downs, punt, turnover on downs.
I mean, that's damn good if you try to hit the under.
They literally did nothing for the rest of the game. Wow. Now, there were some plays here and there.
Yeah.
But they literally did nothing, mm-hmm. against the San Francisco 49ers defense after going seven plays and whatever it was, 50-something, 60-something yards for that opening touchdown. And they lost 20-7. And the number looks close. It looks like it was a close game. This game wasn't in doubt.
As evidenced by the stats I throw at you in terms of the discrepancy between total yards, in terms of discrepancy between first downs, discrepancy time of possession, 39 minutes to 21 was the time of possession favoring the 49ers. I mean, you know, listen, we always do this. It was probably too early to anoint Sean McVay the little boy genius.
Well, he was, because of what the innovation and you got to hear me out, because you got to understand why it was so innovative.
Okay.
Even though it wasn't new, it was just redone. Because Coach Payton, Sean Payton, used to do these things. It was all about creating matchups. Right, I'm gonna move so many times at the line of scrimmage that you're just gonna get frustrated as a defense and just stay with whatever you have sitting in front of you, and then all of a sudden you have a linebacker covering Robert Woods, mm-hmm. or whatever it is, and it's stealing.
Yep.
Right, and so eventually teams start to substitute because Todd Gurley's not running the football anymore, or they're not even attempting to run the football, or Todd's hurt or whatever it is, and so I'm gonna bring a safety or a corner to be that sixth DB. Mm-hmm. So as opposed to having two linebackers or one linebacker, I'm going to have all secondary folks. So it doesn't matter if you move and switch and, you know, flip formations.
We can move with you.
We can move with you,
yep.
And we can cover you. Doesn't matter how you end up.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he first did it, it was innovative.
How did nobody think about that before?
Because you don't have the personnel. You just don't.
Yeah. Right? I guess the game used to be so different.
You just don't have the personnel.
Fullback, the tight end who was a blocker.
But it's not even that. Unless you draft and go into free agency and get the right kind of substitute players.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the nickel corner, the dime corner, the safeties, like these hybrid. If you don't have those type of players on your team, mm-hmm. you get screwed.
No, I mean, if it was so innovative on McVay's part, why did nobody do it in the 70s? Because it seems like a pretty basic concept. Let me get a matchup that favors my guy who's faster than their guy.
Because think about this.
I could have thought of that
BT,
from my couch.
Until like the mid, probably the early 2000s, head coaches were still saying third and one, fourth and whatever, short. It's going to be my guys against your guys.
Yeah.
Get my big guys. We gotta be tougher than them.
Yeah.
Screw that. Are you kidding?
Toughness doesn't hurt.
But you know what I mean? But why?
Yeah.
Why bang my head against a brick wall when I can just go around the wall?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
That's true. That's true.
Football, it takes a long time to evolve. And when you get a guy who thinks about it outside of the box, it's like, why do I got to go heavy? Why do I got to go two tight ends, you know, jumbo packages on third and fourth and one? Why can't I go spread and have an athletic quarterback who's going to roll out? And if you cover everybody, he's just going to take off and get 5 yards,
mm-hmm.
right? Why not? That's what the Baltimore Ravens are doing right now. Right?
I'm still not buying the Ravens. The Bengals are 31st in rushing defense.
I agree.
Lamar Jackson plays great.
I give Greg Roman
against bad teams.
I give Greg Roman a ton of credit for saying, you're struggling right now, Lamar. Just run the football.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get hit.
Mm-hmm.
Protect yourself, but just run the football.
It's just not sustainable.
It's not
That's
at all.
That's what I fear for
It's
the
not
kid.
At all, but it's yeah. better than losing a game that
True.
you should have won.
Okay. 855-212-4227. Poll question is up, and it pertains to the Dallas Cowboys, who have suddenly lost three in a row. Do you still view them as a playoff team? Yes or no? Simple stuff. Go vote on Tiki and Tierney. Speaking of voting, hey, you know what? Georgia gives the voters a little something to think about in terms of the college football playoff. A little curveball, a little wrinkle, which we love. We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, got to mix it up. Got to squeeze a little college football. Tiki and I will do that right now. Some crazy occurrences on Saturday. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here is 1-855-212-4227. Tiki, connect to Tiki and Tierney. It's brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. By the way, about 7 or 8 minutes inbounds, out of bounds. Got a good menu to choose from. A little baseball. We'll weave it in there. Third hour, the Browns and their directionless plight. I mean, they are lost. And now what are you starting to see with Odell Beckham Jr.? The hands are going up.
Yeah.
Got a little frustrated. You know, obviously Baker's now passing the buck. It's on the refs.
He did make some great plays, though.
I understand that. And he lost, like he usually does, when he makes great plays.
True.
You know, I mean, so we'll get to that coming up in the third hour. Hugh Jackson, former Browns head coach, will join us. Interesting to see which angle he takes. All right, college football. Bama, Clemson rolls. I'm gonna pass over Georgia for a second, because mm-hmm. that obviously changes everything, at least now. LSU, Burrow keeps rolling against a stout Florida defense. I don't know that this is the most popular take, and it's probably not even the most important occurrence Saturday. But to me, I think Wisconsin's going to play for the championship.
Hmm.
They have 4 shutouts this year. All right? Four.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Taylor.
He's the man.
I know, but he wasn't this week.
Yes.
First time below 100 yards.
Yeah.
And they still won 38-0.
Yeah. So
it's the best Wisconsin team of all time.
Well, it probably.
I mean, I don't know, 40s, 50s, whatever.
It depends on how it plays out for them.
So far.
It's interesting because, you know, they're in the West, and the only challenger, and it's only because of they're ranked and they're also undefeated out of the West, is Minnesota. But then you go look at Minnesota's schedule, they haven't played anybody. South Dakota State, Fresno, Georgia State, Purdue, Illinois, and Nebraska. And so then they got to play Rutgers next. So Minnesota's going to be like 7-0. Mm-hmm. And people are going to start saying, well, Minnesota's a challenger in the SEC West.
And then they'll lose
the Big Ten West. And then ultimately they're going to come up against Wisconsin, and they're probably going to lose. So
that game? Is that at Minnesota? That'll be a good environment. I hope it's at Minnesota.
It is. It is. It's the last game of the regular season, November 30th. It is in Minnesota against Wisconsin. It'll be great. If Minnesota can pull through, and it's going to be hard. They got to beat Penn State, and Iowa is going to be tough for them as well. If they get to those teams undefeated, mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have some interesting conversations going on in the Big Ten West, because I do believe Wisconsin can be the Big Ten representative potentially for the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, they've already beat Michigan. Can they beat Ohio State? I mean, on a good day, controlling the clock, running Jonathan Taylor.
They can.
Jake Cohn is much better quarterback than Honeybrick ever was.
I think they can.
Then and they play great defense.
Yes,
absolutely
they
can. And Penn State is as well. So, I mean, there's so many things that are going to shake themselves out as it pertains to divisions, mm-hmm. and who wins those conferences. But the big story is who falls off the face of the earth, and it's got to be Georgia after their loss.
Permanent, or at least until they get to regenerate and get back some of that equity.
See the problem with,
I'm not ready to get rid of them totally yet.
Well,
go ahead.
Look, they're good. We know that, and Fromm is really good. We've talked about this all year long. I mean, in fact, before the season, he's likely one of the top quarterbacks to be taken. If there's four first-round quarterbacks, he's certainly one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And some people were saying he's even going to be above some of these other guys because he's more ready to play in the National Football League than Tua and Herbert. I don't know if that's necessarily true. But Georgia...
Burrow's making his way into that conversation.
Exactly, Joe Burrow. But Georgia, in the SEC East, they have Florida still there. Florida also has a one loss. Missouri, which they're not going to be. I don't think they'll hang around all the way through. But the only way that they can get back into the conversation is win out and then win the SEC championship and hope that Alabama or LSU has a bad loss somewhere.
That's hoping for too many things.
I agree.
Teams that are
good. That's my point. There's just like too many. There's too many things that have to happen for Georgia to get back into this thing. Can it happen? Of course it can. Could Alabama lose to LSU? Of course it could. But then I don't see Alabama losing along the way either, because Alabama is that one team. I mean, LSU is that one team that has faced, some really tough competition already. Texas, they beat. Florida, they beat. They have Auburn coming up in a couple weeks. So if they beat Auburn, LSU is in the driver's seat, and in having, they'll control their own destiny because they'll play Alabama that next weekend. And so the SEC is what confounds this. It makes it like complicated because there's so many good teams in the SEC,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to knock each other off, right? So who remains standing out of the SEC? And then once you have these one loss or maybe even two loss teams in the SEC, are they better than some of these other teams in these other conferences like the Pac-12 that we always talk about?
Answer is yes, don't you think?
I don't think
that's a hard question.
I don't know how the college football.
How do you prove it?
How do you quantify it?
There's
not like similar matchups. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like
the eye test.
And that's hard, man.
I know everybody wants their data.
You're right, because if you put the eye test out there, then a lot of people say Clemson doesn't deserve to be in the top five. You know what I mean? So
I hear you on that. They've been a little uneven so far this season.
You're right.
Based on what we thought they would be.
Trevor's been okay.
Yeah.
He's been a superstar, but he's not in the Heisman, watch category any longer. Trevor Lawrence. I wouldn't put him there. I think these other guys.
No, absolutely not. Tua's there. Burrow's. I think we're going to get into this coming up in bounds, out of bounds, where they rank. But Burrow's there. Let me ask you this. Jalen Hurts for sure. What do you take away from the Red River rivalry? Texas was right there. They were right there.
Yeah. It's interesting because it was a touchdown game.
Yeah. And it was a 10-point spread.
But I don't think I ever felt like Texas was going to win. You know what I mean?
I have the same feeling.
Right?
Yeah.
So I know they played great. Both teams played great. Jalen Hurts did what Jalen Hurts does. What do you have, 130-something yards on the ground?
But did you see the pick he had in the end zone?
Yeah.
That's the kind of play, and maybe I'm being unfair because it's a big rivalry game, and I was really locked into that play. And I actually, you know, Tiki knows this. I like to do this with, you know, with the phone and the the ability now.
Yeah, you like circle.
I blew it up because when he got picked in the end zone, he was getting flushed to the pocket, mm-hmm. to the right, and it's on my Twitter account at Brandon Tierney. And there's two guys getting ready to sandwich him. He's clearly on his back foot, and he's drifting away, and he throws it into six bodies in the end zone.
Yeah,
and I only say that maybe if you want to further evaluate his NFL pedigree. He's a great college player. Very well could be a good NFL player. That was ugly.
That's 100% interception.
Yeah, no doubt.
You're never getting lucky making that throw.
Especially on Sundays.
Exactly right.
So,
but you can get away with it on Saturdays.
Except if you're playing a top 10, top 12 team as they were.
Exactly.
You know, if you're playing somebody and it's 52-13 and they're half interested, yeah, you could probably get away with it. So it's funny because I don't know what to take away from that game. Is Texas a little bit better than I thought? Well, they hung around, but I'm with you. I never thought they were going to win.
Me either.
Maybe some people needed to see the Sooners blow them out, which I think is unfair. In mm-hmm. a rivalry game, I almost suppressed the aesthetics of the – no, just
look,
win
in
the
a
game.
Rivalry game, it's unless the rivalry is like has gotten so lopped, it's going to be a touchdown or a two-score game.
Uh-huh.
It's never going to be a blowout. Never. It doesn't matter how good or bad one of the other teams are. It's going to be like we saw this game. But it doesn't inform us yet. Right, it doesn't tell us.
Do you like this?
I do.
Yeah,
I prefer
too.
This. Right. So, I mean, we just ripped off a few teams. I mean, some of them in the Big Ten aren't going to have a chance. But you can't ignore them. You can't ignore a loss. A Penn State.
Yeah.
You can't ignore Wisconsin. You can't ignore these teams. Whereas in previous years, mm-hmm. you could be like, yeah, they're not going to be hanging around at the end of this.
That's true.
And there's three teams you got to worry about.
That's true.
I mean, look, can Oklahoma be beat? Absolutely.
Yes.
Can a Clemson be beat?
Yes.
Absolutely. Can
yes.
Ohio State be beat? Absolutely.
I of course
can Alabama?
They
can. Can Alabama be beat? I think so.
But
as
here's
well.
The let me follow this back because I think what's more interesting, which do you say with more conviction? Like, yes, I think Clemson
the
can
two,
be beat.
The two teams I think I would lock in if I had to pick two out of four to lock in
would be Alabama
and Ohio,
and LSU.
No, I'd say Ohio State.
That's what I meant. Pardon me. Alabama
yeah.
and Ohio State.
That's right.
I'm kind of close to getting that padlock for LSU.
I mean,
LSU's good, man.
But they got to go through Alabama.
I understand that. But they can lose that game and still go. That's the point.
Yeah, but they
can definitely
but
still go.
Here's what could happen, because this happened 2 years ago, BT. Alabama lost to Auburn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Auburn lost to Georgia in the SEC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So Georgia and Alabama went to the college football playoff. So Alabama, in a sense, got lucky because they didn't have to play for the championship game.
That's right.
That's the only way LSU can get in if they lose to Alabama. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I do. So if they lose to Alabama and then they went out and blow everybody else out and Joe Burrow he wins the Heisman Trophy, whatever it may be, yeah. they could lose to Alabama,
all
not
right.
play in the SEC championship game. Alabama beats whomever in the championship game,
mm-hmm.
and Alabama and LSU still go on to the college football playoffs.
I'm following you. What would crush LSU in that scenario is if Alabama loses.
That's right.
In the SEC.
That's right.
SEC championship.
And then neither
game.
One of them are going.
No, Alabama would still go. That's their first loss.
If Alabama loses,
if that's their first loss. They're definitely still.
But who
going.
They lose it to? Florida.
Well, it's gonna be somebody good.
Georgia?
It's not gonna be Vanderbilt.
If they lose to Georgia after Georgia just lost to South Carolina, there's no way Alabama. You know what I mean?
This is what makes it fun. I mean,
well, this is what makes
it
this
fun.
Year in particular like confusing. I can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually you can see it.
Yeah.
Like, this is the path for this team, this team, this team, this team. Those are the four they're going to make it. Maybe this is the outlier that sneaks in. I can't see it for any of them.
No, those weeds are getting tall.
They are.
The only thing I see, and I just, and we're going to get X update here, come back to inbounds, out of bounds. When I push those weeds to the side, I still see Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I like Wisconsin better than you do. And I know you like them.
And I do like them.
I know you like, I really like them. That defense is incredible. All right, Axe update, inbounds, out of bounds. After that, here's Rich Ackerman. All right, inbounds, out of bounds, coming up in a second here on Tiki and Tierney. First up, though, time now for Doing More, brought to you by the Home Depot. Visit homedepot.com for details on flooring, appliances, and bathroom home improvements. It's the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. All right, Tiki and I'll get into this more coming up in inbounds here. But LSU quarterback Joe Burrow kept up a stellar play. He's balling. Slicing up the Gators, nearly 300 yards, three touchdowns, no turnovers, all while barely throwing an incomplete pass. I mean, 21 out of 24, are you kidding me? LSU really is on a nice run there. Number two in the AP Top 25 with their 42-28 win over the Gators as they jump over Clemson. Obviously noteworthy. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, CBS, radio.com, on YouTube at Tiki and Tierney, on Twitter, all that stuff. A million ways to follow us here. We've got Hugh Jackson next hour. And he's the kind of guy, if he feels like talking, he's gonna do a lot of singing.
Yeah.
He's done it before about his former team. So I'm curious how he handles this. Is implosion too strong of a word for the Browns yet?
Yeah,
save that for another week or two?
Because they didn't play horrible. They played really well for a half and then just started short-circuiting in so many different ways. I'm really interested to ask him, I think most prominently, about Freddie Kitchens. I mean, we've talked about him since the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. The fact that he doesn't want to give up play calling duties, the fact that he's a rookie head coach and Baker likes him, but is he really putting Baker in the best position to be successful?
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide.
All right, Inbounds, Out of Bounds.
Inbounds and Out of Bounds now.
All right, so during the team, I'm not going to mention their name anymore. You're going to have to figure this out because they're disgraceful to watch. I'm giving them I gave them too much love to start. They made me look bad. Now I'm done with that team from not quite the Deep South, not quite the Midwest. Find them on the map.
South of the Mason-Dixon, yeah. And right next to Virginia.
Yes, embarrassing performance. Shut out by the Broncos. Oh my, without Bradley Chubb, head coach Mike Vrabel of that team. Bench starting quarterback Marcus Mariota in favor of Ryan Tannehill. Now, Mariota was a ghastly 7-for-18. He just stinks. Two picks. I'm tired of him. He's got to go before being benched in the third quarter. But the former Heisman winner and number two overall pick, he is classy. I'll say he's a good kid. Understood the move.
I don't feel great. Coach made a decision, and, you know, you got to be he's going to make a decision that's best for the team. So, I respect it, and, I just try to be there for Ryan.
All right, so that's Marcus Mariota. As we know, he's in the final year of his contract, all right, of his rookie deal. Winston, similar situation. Mm-hmm. Inbounds, out of bounds, Tate. Marcus Mariota will be an NFL starting quarterback in 2020.
I'm going to say inbounds to that, BT. At some point, you know, he'll find a quarterback coach that says, Marcus, it's okay to throw interceptions. You don't have to be the safest quarterback. You're an athlete. You got a pretty good arm. Use it. Don't just worry about, you know, not making mistakes and taking sacks and then getting flustered because your team is down and throwing heave balls, less than 50-50 balls. I mean, these are like 30-70 balls, meaning 30% completion chance and 70% interception throws. So I'm going to say inbounds. And there's a couple of teams that may have some quarterback openings in the next couple of years. So I'm going to say, yeah, inbounds.
Surprisingly, I'm going to say the same thing. Hmm. Just knowing the nature of the NFL. Now, if he had a totally different skill set, if he was like a throwback, prototypical, big, strong-armed kid who couldn't move, but he just had horrendous decision-making skills and he wasn't really a great teammate, which he is. He's a heck of a good teammate, yep, for sure. He just wished at the second overall pick, he wished he was a good player. He's going to need to be rebooted, deprogrammed, reprogrammed, and he's going to have to let it fly once in a while and live with the consequences. His skill set is such in the modern NFL, he's still too young and too much of an athlete not to be given another chance. So I agree with you on that point. Yep.
Are you in or are you
out? Just wouldn't want to be on my team. Clarify. We got Sammy. We don't need him. All right. Today might be a football Monday, but we had some great baseball content over the weekend, culminating in epic extra innings thriller. This, I tell you, baseball has been great. The Yankees and the Astros last night, leading off the 11th, Houston star Carlos Correa smacked a first pitch, oppo walk-off. He smashed that one. Mm. To tie the series at one apiece as they head back to the Bronx, there's a look at it. He knew right. He's looking at the dugout. Two steps out, that thing is gone. And you don't really pose too early on an opposite field home run. That's how he knew he got it right on the screws. So, the crucial Game 3 matchup will pit in the Bronx, as I said, Luis Severino, who's back and dealing, against Major League Baseball strikeout leader Gerrit Cole. In or out, it is more important for the Yankees to win Game 3 than for the Astros.
I'm going to say inbounds with this, BT, mainly because of who they have to face in Game 3, which is Gerrit Cole, who's easily one of the best pitchers in baseball, if not the Cy Young winner. But I don't even know how to toss it up in the American League with the Cy Young right now. But because of who they have to face, who is just ridiculous this postseason so far, I'm going to say yeah. One, because it gives them a 2-1 advantage, but more importantly, it gives them confidence that they can hit one of the best pitchers. And because we know their lineup, it's about their pitching, but it's more importantly about their bats. If they can get to Gerrit Cole, then I think they'll have confidence to go all the way through.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't know that it's absolutely vital for the Yankees to win Game 3, more so than the Astros. I just think these are, listen, I've said all summer, all year, I think the Astros are marginally better. And yeah. The reason I said that is because I thought the Astros were the superior defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, some aces at the top of the rotation doesn't hurt, but Tanaka's obviously always up to the October bell.
Right.
He was phenomenal the other night. I trust Pat. He got a quick hook last night, but he's got filthy stuff.
That's
big
a little
maple.
Bit. A little bit.
A little early?
A little bit early.
And two innings? With Green,
two and a two
little, innings. It is what it is. Yeah. It's modern baseball. Severino's got nasty stuff. And the Yankees are still, they can go on a home run binge and win anywhere against anybody. But the Yankees actually catch the baseball a lot better. You watch this series. I mean, whether it's LeMahieu making picks at first base, Gleyber Torres doing things in the hole, DD making sick plays. Last night, Urshela had a great play at third base, kind of like Bregman the night before when he leaped up and he made a sick play. And now with Stanton hurt, he's always hurt, and him probably not being in the left field, the Yankees outfield and Aaron Judge in right field superior. I think it's a toss-up. I don't think they have to win. I think they could. They might. And if they don't, they could come back and win the next game.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, over in the NL, how about this? The Nationals take a 2-0 lead against the Cardinals, now two away from the World Series here. The franchise's first World Series appearance since they began as the Expos all the way back in 1969. Now, ironically, the team lost their biggest star, Bryce Harper, in the offseason to a monster deal, 13 years, $330 million, with the Phils. In or out, the Nats are better off long-term without Bryce Harper.
I'm going to say in bounds of this, BT, because I think when there's not this albatross of a contract and an expectation, it's just easier to be a team. It's one thing if you have a team full of them, but the Washington Nationals did not. And so I think it was a little bit of a heightened expectation, not just from Bryce, but for everybody around Bryce. So I'm going to say inbounds.
Listen, I say inbounds as well. The Nationals are hitting .226 as a team offensively, which obviously isn't very good, but their pitchers' batting average against is .187.
Yeah.
That's very good. Listen, you face aces, you face studs, you face flame-throwing bullpens in October. So a masher, that's why a lot of these guys, you know, the home run hitters have real prolonged down periods in October. So even if Bryce is hot, you got to pitch in bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, another week of college football. Teague and I hit this before. We'll get back to it here. Another trio of dominating performances by the three leading Heisman candidates.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Tua. He threw his first pick of the year, but otherwise shredded a talented A&M defense. A&M scored first that game, too.
They did.
And they just ran away. They had nearly 300 Bills and four touchdowns. Now, his SEC counterpart, Joe Burrow, was even better for LSU, completing 88% of his passes. He, too, for three Bills, three scores, and a statement win over number 7 Florida. And the Sooners, Jalen Hurts, three touchdowns, .131 on the ground, another score on the ground, as OU hopes to add an unprecedented third straight Heisman winner. Right now, Tua is the front runner to win the Heisman. In or out?
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT. I think it's Joe Burrow, just because how well he's been playing. He's out of nowhere. The story is probably harder to craft. It's easier to craft for Tua than it is for Joe. But if they beat Auburn in 2 weeks, if they got to get through Illinois, right? If they beat Auburn and then somehow find a way, play great, or even beat Alabama, how can you not? Because that would be four top 10 opponents, including Texas and now Florida, that he would have beaten, which is just unprecedented for an SEC squad, really any quarterback.
It's crazy. My answer is out of bounds. It's not Tua. It's Burrow. I'm with you. You know, we talked about the stats from the other day and 88% completion percentage against the Gators. That's one game. And it's obviously a pretty good snapshot of what he's done this year because he's 80% on the season, which is three full percentage points more than anybody in college football. And they're not all like swing passes and little dump passes.
No.
He lets it go. The only thing that gave me pause here is that a lot of times the Heisman Trophy, the candidacy begins the previous year.
That's true.
And you get a little traction.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So he seemingly
Those numbers are ridiculous.
Oh, they're insane. Is threatening to circumvent the usual process of gaining momentum from the previous year. Right now, Burrow's my guy. He's the Heisman winner. It's tight, but I would say Joe Burrow. All right, coming up next. I don't think the Browns are very tight, at least in terms of the unit. I mean, they seem to be very fragmented. You got Odell Beckham. I'm not trying to put this all on him, obviously, because Baker's been horrendous. But now Beckham is starting to, hands are flailing, not happy. The head coach is absolutely lost and over his head, over his skis. We'll hit the Browns coming up next. TK and Tierney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.